baby. Thank you, baby.
Love Talk Radio.
God bless your family. This is Pastor A.D. Finkley, and I am so delighted that you have tuned into the Global Leadership Show, a show where we prepare leaders for the globe. Listen, my friends, this is an exciting time in the Lord, and God is doing great things, and we're so glad to be a part of what God is doing in the kingdom. I'm just excited about the opportunity that the Lord has given us to partner with Him. Today, we're going to have a super awesome program. And the reason I say this going to be super awesome is because, number one, we will be joined by God. And then, number two, praise God, I have my dear friend, my brother with me, Apostle Wayne McNeil, is going to be joining me today on this broadcast as we discuss righteous ambition. Righteous ambition is the prepared to lead leadership gathering that is coming up in the month of May, May 12th and 13th. And so we wanted to kind of give the people of God a feel for what is going to be imparted unto the body of Christ those two nights as we discuss righteous ambition. And so at this time, I want to bring on my dear brother, Apostle Wayne McNeil. Praise God.
God.
Apostle, are you with us?
God bless you. Yes, sir. Pastor Finkley, it's such an honor and privilege to be with you, man of God. I'm so honored and so privileged that you even considered me to partake in this kingdom powerful venue. I thank you so much, sir.
Well, praise God, Apostle. It is such an awesome privilege to have you, a man of your caliber, to be joining us with this in this meeting, this leadership gathering that we're having in the month of May. The Lord has been dealing with me about having this particular meeting for the Triad area for the past 2 years, and I've kind of just nudged off and said, "No, Lord, I don't believe that it's time." But this year, the Lord said, "I want you to go forward with it." And you know, I'm of the old proverb: either you use it or you lose it. You know, we are not God's first choice.
Yes, sir.
We are not God's first choice. And so when the Lord calls, we must answer. And so sometimes we're a little slow answering the call of God, but nonetheless, we have answered. And the Lord has laid you upon my heart for the past 2 years just to come and share with the people of God concerning this matter. And so, Apostle, you know, this meeting is going to be about ambition. And,
yes, sir.
As well as I know, Apostle, if there is any controversial topic, then ambition must find its way into the conversation. You know,
right.
For some reason or another, when it comes to ambition, it's often looked upon with disdain. Many people have a problem with ambition. Many people feel that ambition should be put into the same category as pride. And I don't know if you have experienced that, but if so, could you share just a little bit about some of your personal experiences with being a founding pastor, birthing a ministry from the ground up, and certainly one has to be ambitious in order to do that.
Yes, sir. And, sir, I definitely would do that, be honored to. I believe, first of all, for us to do kingdom work and to do to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to have the spirit of ambition. Now, there's a distinct difference between ambition and arrogance. If we talk about ambition, we're just talking about a strong godly desire to obtain or to procure a particular objective. I look at it like an energetic readiness to fulfill the will of God, or a desire to fulfill the will of God, or a desire to surpass or to excel. Then, and you can base that off of Matthew chapter 6 and number 33, because you look at Matthew 6 and 33, we know what Matthew said: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, for us to do that, we have to be ambitious. We have to be ambitious about pursuing the kingdom agenda. Because if I'm going to fulfill the Great Commission, if I'm going to do what God called me to do, I have to be ambitious, because if not, then the offenses that come with the assignment will so overwhelm me that I'll succumb to the pressure of just pursuing his presence, of pursuing his will, of pursuing his desire. So therefore, I have to be ambitious to fulfill that. And my ambition, again, is no more than just my desire to fulfill. And anytime when I have a lack of desire or a lack of ambition, I become idle. And anytime I become idle, I become an easy target for the enemy and his suggestions. So for me, planning ministry and starting ministry from ground up, it was my personal desire in God and my ambitions to fulfill his will that kept me moving when I didn't see nothing, when I didn't have the support, when I didn't have the finances, all I had was his word. And that's how I put it out, with his word and his support. So you have to have that ambition to fulfill his assignment, because if not, you'll be weak and you'll become weary and you become left on the wayside, because your present predicament don't look nothing like your future prophecy. So you gotta have that ambition. You gotta know what God showed you and what God told you.
Absolutely.
Even though seemingly it doesn't seem to match. So, Pastor, you're exactly right. You have to have. I think this is a phenomenal topic, because you have to have that ambition. And some will misinterpret ambition define ambition as arrogance, but they're two distinct different things. If I'm going to see and pursue the kingdom of God, I have to be ambitious to be able to apprehend or to be able to receive all that God has for me. If not, I will just be slowful, be slack, and then I look at it like this: our God is a God of increase. He's always a God of wisdom. He's a God of insight. So he wants us to have more. So you can't have more and be like a day seal. You can't have more and be slack.
Absolutely.
You know, more wisdom, more insight, more passion. All this
starts
with the seed of ambition. And if you don't have that, you won't be able to achieve all that God would desire you to achieve as it pertains to your fulfilling your kingdom assignment.
Absolutely. You know, Apostle, I think a lot of times many of the saints get confused about ambition, because the actual word ambition is not in the Bible. And just because we don't see the word ambition in the Bible, we can see ambition in the lives of those whom God used to do great things. And actually,
yes, sir.
if we really took a step back and listened to what the Word of God was saying and is saying in the Scriptures, we find a word there called zeal.
Right.
Zeal,
right,
at its core, is nothing more than ambition. And so
yes,
I think a lot of times when we read the Word of God, that because we don't see certain and particular words found in the Word of God, we get a misunderstanding that this somehow or another, if we possess this, then if it's not found by word in Scripture, then it must not be of God. But that's absolutely
right.
That's absolutely not the truth. You
that's
can look at
right,
the life
sir.
Of Nehemiah, you see ambition. You look at the life of Mordecai, you see ambition.
Yes.
I mean, you look at the life of Noah, you find ambition. These men that God used to do great things had that ambition in their life. And sometimes because we have that lack of understanding that ambition is nothing more than a strong determination to accomplish a goal, because we don't have that understanding, many of us will allow men and women to stomp out our ambition, to kill that drive within them, because
somebody
somebody never taught them about ambition. And so when they see an ambition, whether it's someone who is sacred in the sacred office, ministry-wise, or someone who is in the secular office. And what I mean in secular office, saints, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about being worldly, but I'm talking about those leaders who may not have the gifting of a pastor or a deacon, but have the gift set from God to be in the marketplace. To start a business,
right,
you got to be ambitious. I mean,
that's
you
right,
know, some people,
that's
have,
right.
some people have been blessed to sew clothes, make clothes, you know, designers, graphic designers, and all these different types of gift sets that God has given men and women. If you're going to put that in the marketplace, then you must be ambitious. You must have
definitely
a strong determination to accomplish those goals you know, those goals that you have are those goals that God has placed upon your life. And so I'm excited about talking about this particular subject because we have so many young believers, young people, and that's really who I'm concerned. We have so many young people who feel this strong drive to accomplish some things for the Lord. Now, Paul talks about having zeal and not according to knowledge. You know, you just can't have ambition. Yes, you must have a little bit of knowledge with you. With your ambition. But,
right.
But Apostle, there's some young men and there's some young women, there's some young leaders that is coming up and they feel this strong push and this strong desire. And what is happening, sir, is that they're running into people who are not ambitious about anything.
That's right.
I couldn't have said it any better. The way that you said that just a minute ago nailed it dead upon the head. You said that if I'm going to be ambitious, I can't be lazy. I can't
right.
be lackadaisical. And some of our young, such as ourselves, young leaders as ourselves, we're running into men, we're running into women who are not ambitious about anything. They just lazy. And anytime they see somebody that has a little bit more drive than them, then they want to say, God ain't told you to do nothing. They want to tell you,
that's
shut
right.
up.
That's right.
They want to tell you, that ministry ain't getting off the ground. You can't start
right.
that business. You know,
right.
It kind of makes you feel like they're saying to you, what business you got dreaming? What
that's
business
right.
do you have dreaming? What business do you have thinking that you could do something, you know, as out of the box that you're doing? What makes you think you can do something?
Wow.
And what they fail to understand, Apostle, is that there is something that's in you that's saying, I'm determined to accomplish this thing. If I got to cry a few nights, if I got to lose a few friends, if I got to walk by myself for a season, if some people going to turn their back on me, then that's all right because this ambition that's in me to accomplish this thing in my lifetime. That's the key.
Wow. Wow, that's
good. You know, Apostle, I know that there's some things that the Lord is going to do after we leave off the scene if Jesus should tarry. But
that's
there are
right,
some
sir.
Things that God wants accomplished in our lifetime. He wants us to see it. He wants us to put our eyes upon it. And if that's going to be the case, then we have to be men and women who are full of ambition.
Right, amen. Sir. Right, sir. Right, sir. And just to add to your power, to so many of the powerful points that you conveyed, sir, one thing that stands out to me is that one of the main enemies, I believe, to ambition is the for an individual to be content with just being average. We don't serve an average God. We don't serve an average God, and God wants us to be ambitious as it pertains to fulfilling all that he's put inside of us. And to for us to fulfill that, you said it well, it's going to take us separating ourselves, losing some friends and lonely
Absolutely.
Nights and crying through and processing through, because we have to know that what God put inside of us is for us to believe him that he's going to manifest it through our process. And I say this because
Absolutely.
A lot of people that are not ambitious, are threatened by people who are, because they'll try to put a cap or a restriction or limitation on what that person is trying to achieve, simply because they didn't have the faith to try it. They didn't have the ambition to think about it. Because they have failed in it, because they have tried, then they try to put their failure on another person and feel like, well, I didn't do it, you can't do it. But it's not like that. That's why that's
absolutely,
the scripture tells us we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we got to realize the source of our ambition comes from Him, and the strength comes from Him. So all we got to do is have the faith to continue in the process, to believe that God's going to allow me to see this thing through, but I can't lose my ambition. I can't allow someone to cause me to dummy down my expectations because they don't have any, or dummy down
absolutely
my dreams
right
because they don't have any, and block me because they feel limited or they feel restricted. That's not the God that we serve. Matter of fact, I can connect with brothers like you or here, brother, and that what it does, it fuels my ambition. It's a godly ambition. It's a righteous ambition. It's an ambition that's pushing me to say, okay, if God's doing it through Pastor A.D. Finkley, my God, I thank God. He can do it. We have no respect for the person. It's our desire. That's why the Bible tells us, let
that's
every
right
man be fully persuaded in their own mind. If
persuaded.
I'm fully persuaded,
yes,
I'm convinced. If I have an unwavering determination to go the distance, then God will exceed my expectation. But I can't accomplish what I want to accomplish absent of ambition. So we have to have that ambition. We have to have it.
Absolutely right, Apostle. You know, while you were speaking, what came to my mind is one of the greatest revelations that the Lord gave me was, our theme scripture, Matthew 23 and verse 11, where Jesus said, let the greatest among you be servant. And at the forefront of that scripture, the Lord revealed to me that I have no problem with you being great. I have absolutely no problem with you being great. And here's the thing. What I found out is that other men have a problem with us being great, but Christ doesn't have that problem. In essence, listen, I want you to be great, but I want you to have the right motive with your greatness. And
that's
so
right.
Anyone knows that if you're going to be great doing anything, whether you're going to be great bouncing the ball, you're going to be great running the pigskin, you're going to be great swinging the bat, you're going to be great counting money, anything you do, if you're going to be great, then you must have ambition there. And so the Lord explains to the disciples time and time again, when you scroll through the Gospels, he says, let the greatest among you. And so he expected somebody to be great. He said the greatest
right
amongst you. And so there was an expectation for somebody to be great. And so the greatest among you, let him be the servant. I don't have a problem with you being great. Just have the right motive. And
right.
I think sometimes because men and some women have missed their opportunity, so to speak, to be great
mm-hmm
in something. And when
mm-hmm
someone comes along and they see that this individual or that individual has the drive to be great in their own right, then
right
envy swells up, jealousy
right
right swells up. And so the whole objective in the mindset is to stomp that out before the fire gets any bigger. I will say that now we're not saying that just because you're ambitious you have to be wild and loose as a goose, don't want to hear anybody. We're not talking in those regards. Because we still yet believe that you can be ambitious and still yet under authority. Amen.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. And the reason I say that, Apostle, is because some would take this topic of righteous ambitions and say, hey, I got to be ambitious to accomplish the will and the word of God, so I don't have to listen to nobody. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I got a drive within me. But that's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that you can have that ambition, and when you have that ambition, God will bring people into your life who is not going to kill your ambition, but's going to help build your ambition. Be that thrusting force behind you. To be that quiet, still voice to say, you can do it. Go ahead on. You can accomplish it. That's the kind of ambitious and ambitious people, ambition and ambitious people that you want God to bring around you. And so we're not speaking of lawlessness. But what we are speaking of is that you've got to have a strong determination to be able to accomplish the things of God. Oh, what a wonderful topic, Apostle.
As I was
preparing for our talk tonight, I began to read the scriptures, and I was thinking about David and how David faced Goliath. David was an ambitious young man. And 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David went down to bring those ration to his brothers that his father had sent, and Goliath was down there running his mouth, and something swelled up in David. I believe not only was it the Spirit of the Lord, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord with that ambition to shut the mouth of the giant began to swell up in David. And you know, when you read that, David's older brother saw how ambitious David was to take Goliath out. And he said to David, he said, what are you even doing here? What you doing down here? He said, I know the kind of pride that you got in your heart, and I know the kind of insolence that you got in your heart. In other words, and David turned around and said to him, Apostle, he says, what I done now? You know, and I found out that sometimes it's the brethren. It's the brethren that Spirit of God wrapped in that ambition to accomplish something great for God that says, wait a minute, what you doing here? You know, I know you're full of pride. You looking for a spot to be seen. You want somebody just to hear you. You that boy trying to get a following. But what they didn't realize, that David was anointed for that particular season to deal with that particular giant. And if he did not have the Spirit of the Lord and the ambition of God resting upon his life, then Goliath would have had the whole army still in fear and afraid, just as he had them in Scripture. But God had a plan, Apostle.
Yes, he did.
That was full of the Spirit of the Lord and full of the ambition of God that say, listen, I don't know how to fight with the weaponry that y'all are using. I only got 5 smooth stones and a slingshot, but I'm full of ambition and I'm stepping out on the name of the Lord. We're supposed to be talking, brother. We're supposed to be talking. Yes, I am excited in God. I am excited in God. I am excited in God.
This is powerful.
Yes, sir.
Add to that too, sir, you said it well, is that with David's he excelled in his ambition because it was a seed that was already in him. He was practicing even when it pertains to his ambition towards his true assignment, because he dealt with the lion and he dealt with the bear. That was leading up to the lion. So he was already being prepared. He was being prepared for that, and he had that. He, because he knew the God that he served. He understood that my ambition is not, as you said it well, not to be seen, not to show off, but I understand who I serve and who imparted this ambition in me. Matter of fact, he was saying, in other words, you wasn't there. You don't even know what I've done, what I went through. So you don't even see how I was prepared. You just see me now in this light or in this position, but you don't know the process it took for me to get here. But I had to have ambition even up until this point, because there's an aspect of what I'm dealing with you didn't see. You saw me step on the scene, but you didn't know what was behind the scenes. You didn't know the process. So you have to have. And you said, well, you have to have that ambition. And to add to what you said, David even said that. He said, listen, this was not one of my own my enemies that did this to me. This is one of my own equals. So sometimes when he was losing to God, sometimes because people don't know how to distinguish between, like we were talking to earlier, between ambition and arrogance, they would try to castrate what they can't, they, you know, they can't control, because some people look at you and you remind them perhaps of what they could have done, what
absolutely
they could have been, and instead of promoting you and pushing you, they'll do everything in their power to try to castrate or try to stop you from ever walking in the fulfillment of what God calls you to do. So you made up, brought up so many powerful points that just stimulated my thinking when it, as it pertains to David and what his whole process, what it had to take for him to fulfill his assignment. And the same thing with Moses. Moses had to be ambitious. You know,
he had to be ambitious.
To go up to Pharaoh's house, to go to Pharaoh and tell him what God said. He had to, and still his own stutter was fighting against that. That had, he had to be ambitious to do that.
Absolutely right. You know, Moses wasn't a parking lot prophet. You know, he had to go speak the power at that time. You know, it's easy to be the parking lot prophet, but when you got to go speak the power, come on, we talking Pharaoh. You speaking the power
right
now. Movers, shakers, people that's in charge of other people. You know, that's a whole other level.
Right.
It's a whole other level, and you have to have that ambition in your life. You know, when I think about David and him taking on Goliath, and it's amazing that absolutely nobody in the army of Israel had that level of ambition. Nobody had the ambition to take on this Goliath, this giant. That was making these threats. And you know what, Apostle, the thing that gets me was, if it had come from somebody who was not David's brother, it would have been one thing. But it came from somebody, this attempt to kill the ambition in this young man. It came from somebody
right
that was close to him.
Right.
It came from his older brother. You know, you always look up to the older one. I have a greater respect for the older one, and for this type of castration, so to speak, to come from the older brother. David. Now the Bible says that, you know, David just asks, you know, what have I done? You know, what did I do? But I wonder what happens to the psyche and the mindset of the one who is ambitious, and the older brother. Comes to the younger one and sees it in him and says, "That's just pride in you. That's really not." Mm. I wonder what it does to the psyche. Apostle, I wish we had more time, Lord. We could go another level in this, because you know we have this. Let's just speak from the context here with the last minute that we have. Let's speak from the context of the young pastor who hears the older brother say that God didn't call you to start no church, or God
right
didn't call you to preach. God never told you to start no business. You better go get a job, because that little cutting grass you got going on, the little cakes you're baking, the little outfits you're making, you know,
right,
is not going to work. Listen, Apostle, we are just about out of time. The program is coming to the close. Apostle, I'll give you a few seconds just to speak to the people, if you will, sir, before we close this program.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor. Listen, man, a woman of God, I'd say to you an encouragement, that don't let situations, circumstance, or individuals kill your ambition. We have to have ambition to fulfill the mandate that God has given us. And our motives must be right as it pertains to walking in ambition. Jesus had it, and as his disciples have it, and we, as we propel and push toward the advancement of the kingdom, we got to have it as well. Please, please, my friend, if you're in the Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Kernersville, whatever area, make your way to this conference. It's going to be powerful. I believe God is going to give you insight, revelation, and information, and that you can, he can feed your ambition, that you can go further. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having me.
God bless you. God bless you, Apostle. Listen, friends, stay tuned in for the next episode. And listen, we look to see you, looking forward to seeing you in May the 12th and the 13th. I'm giving a seminar on Thursday night. Apostle is preaching and teaching on Friday night at beginning at 7 p.m. Listen, until the next time we are able to get together, may the rich blessings of God continue to be upon your life. God bless you, family. Talk to you soon.
God bless you. Thank you, sir.